This is The Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. It's a shame that Twitch can't hear us during the break, because some fun stories from Andrew's dating life. I don't know if we're going to get into that in the show, but Andrew with an absolute heat check. And it worked, so congratulations to Andrew and the lady he'll be taking on a date here soon. All right, let's carry over the Astros as Sean is pointing to more shirtless pictures of Gabe Kapler.
No, this is not a picture. This is an incredible line.
This is a quote from Gabe Kapler.
Hold on. Let me set this up. During the break, because we talked about in the last segment how much of a psycho Gabe Kapler is for physical fitness, about the licking the ice cream cone and then throwing it away line, Sean's been diving deeper into the research about Gabe Kapler's weird tendencies. What do you got, Sean?
Headline, Gabe Kapler, : men should expose their testicles to some UV rays.
Oh, my God. Just some.
And then the...
A light amount.
And then a pull quote, or like a bolded quote from this article is, if you want to be your strongest, get some sun on your boys. And by boys, I mean your testicles. That's an actual quote.
I love that he needed to clarify what he meant by that.
Unbelievable.
Oh, Gabe Kapler, isn't it? You know what? I think I might move him to the top of the list just for the content. Gabe Kapler, welcome to Houston. Let's get that job done.
A lot of UV rays here.
Hey, we're in Houston. There's a lot of UV rays to go around. That makes a lot of sense.
Boys.
Yeah. Let's deep fried. All right. Maybe they do that at the county fair. I think they deep fry everything at the rodeo.
I'm tired of Houston with the freaky people. We just shipped somebody out for the massage tables. Like, can we not?
Wow, you're putting Deshaun Watson on Gabe Kapler. Wow. Okay. All right. So
I mean,
count Josh out on Gabe Kapler then.
I mean, who's the Rockets coach? The Rockets look pretty good.
Yeah, that's right, Josh. Yeah. Five in a row. We're gonna get to that at 1:30 here, the Rockets conversation.
I have nothing to say.
Speechless. All right.
Good luck transitioning this, B-Man.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try. Let's go to someone who wasn't speechless, but I wish was. There we go. That wasn't bad. All right. So, Jeremy Booth does a podcast with Jason Bristol. I think it's Jason Bristol from KHOU. And this is going to finish off our talk here on the Astros manager search, and then we'll get into some free agency topics on the Astros. But look, the love-hate relationship that some people have with Dusty has gone too far in both directions, both with the people who love him and both with the people who wanted to run him out of Houston. And consider this on the side of going too far for the people who love him. Jeremy Booth, in this audio you're about to hear, talks about basically Ron Washington not taking the Astros job because of the bloggers, and that also being a reason why Dusty Baker left, and why the Astros fans and bloggers should be embarrassed, and we're not going to get a good manager here in Houston. Let's hear from Jeremy Booth right now.
But some of the stuff you guys said, you ought to be embarrassed. You ought to be embarrassed, because the rest of the game looked at that. And this is right on the heels of Dusty Baker looking at that. Right? And saying, I don't want to be here anymore because I don't listen to the bloggers. That's why I went to the house. I'm 74 years old and all the stuff I went through, you ran me out. And some of you celebrated it. You got the rest of the game watching you. You want everybody to want to be here? Somebody said that the Astros job is the most desirable in baseball. Let me tell you something. Dana Brown's good. Okay? Jim Crane, as much as I got to be around him, man, that guy's been maligned a little bit. He ain't that bad. He's pretty good. He's got a pretty good group of advisors and they got a good clubhouse. And the reason that people don't want to be around is because of the bloggers and the people online that go torture them. And they're driven by at least one radio host. You're hurting the city and you're hurting yourselves. You're making yourselves look bad.
I mean, where do you even begin with that nonsense? First, I do want to speculate at some point if one of that quote radio host is someone here at ESPN 97.5. Maybe it's someone who wonders what's wrong with Dusty's lineup. I don't know if it could be found in the...
Would that count as torture?
As soft as that whole thing was, maybe it was.
Well, apparently Jeremy Booth and a certain afternoon drive host at the Astros flagship station have almost come to blows a couple of times.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's who it is.
My guess would be that is who he is referring to.
Okay, well, it's just the whole idea of... I mean, let's start with the Dusty Baker aspect of it. I mean, look, I've never met Dusty. I haven't talked to Dusty, so this is purely a guess, but I feel pretty confident in what I'm about to say. Dusty didn't leave because the bloggers pissed him off. Dusty's leaving because I think he knew he was going to lose a power struggle to a GM after he had just gotten his way with the last one with James Click. Dusty Baker didn't know who Shane McClanahan was. Dusty Baker didn't know what hand Yordan Alvarez is hurt. You're telling me he knows? Look, I know he has a feud with Chandler Rome that's well established, but you're telling me he knows all the bloggers from Apollo Media or for SB Nation or Bleach Report? Dusty doesn't know who these people are. Chandler Rome, as a writer for The Athletic, can't be classified as a blogger. That is obviously a publication prestigious enough to get past the label of being a blogger. So the idea that Dusty Baker left because of quote-unquote bloggers is patently absurd and untrue, and if it was true, would be one of the softest things I've ever heard.
Yeah, like, on top of that, too, like, do we really believe that Dusty is out here on social media, like, searching his name and trying to find this stuff? Maybe there's some things that his son passes along that, his way maybe, every once in a while.
Maybe.
I can believe that, but if you truly believe that the criticism that Dusty is getting on Twitter is worse than the stuff that was said about him in past cities that he has worked in, San Francisco, Chicago, D.C., I guarantee you the stuff that was written about him there is significantly more critical and worse and more harsh than anything he has had to deal with in Houston. And I truly believe if there's anything that drove Dusty out, it was probably the fact that there were people in his own clubhouse who were willing to go to Chandler Rome with stories about Chaz and some of the other guys with what is going on behind the scenes. That, I guarantee you, that would hurt Dusty immeasurably more than anything that anyone from the Astros Twitterverse would have to say.
Absolutely. And Sean, I'll weigh in here in just a second. But I mean, the idea of Dusty, someone who played with Hank Aaron, went through all
That's what I was going to say. He literally played baseball in Atlanta in the 60s when Hank Aaron was going to break a white man's record.
Yes. Think about all the racial tension he dealt with during that era. And then obviously being the manager for Barry Bonds and dealing with all those questions. Then dealing with all the questions of Bartman and the Cubs and possibly ruining the careers of Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood. The idea that a manager and a player who had been around that many tumultuous situations like Dusty Baker would get hit so bent out of shape by some dude he doesn't even know from Apollo Media to quit his job is just insane.
Tweeting graphs about Yiner Diaz.
Yes, yes.
I don't doubt that Dusty's a sensitive fella. I truly do not doubt that in the slightest, because when I was doing the show yesterday with Joe and Michael out at East River 9, Joe mentioned some stuff about Dusty's time in Chicago where Dusty got some pushback from one of the TV interviews he did as the Bears manager. Or not the Bears, sorry.
Cubs.
The Cubs manager, goodness.
They're going to grow up to be Bears.
And
good science facts. Science facts with Sean Mapes.
Dusty had some pushback from one of the Cubs TV people in one of the interviews they got, and he basically said he's not doing another TV interview the rest of the year. And he did not do another TV interview for the remainder of his time as the Cubs manager. Now, I do not believe that Dusty is 100% a sensitive guy when it comes to the stuff that is around him from a media perspective. But again, there's one thing to be that sensitive to actual media members who are saying things, but it's a whole nother thing when it's just random fans of the team, essentially.
Yeah, that's the aspect of it. I mean, I get that, like we mentioned previously, that Dusty's got, you know, an ongoing beef with Chandler Rome, and I get that he would be upset by the idea that players would be going to the media instead of going to him, even though I think they probably did go to did go to Dusty Baker, didn't get the result they wanted to, and then went to Chandler Rome, but I digress. But look, let's take what Jeremy Booth said as true, which I don't think it's true. I think he's just carrying water for a guy that he likes. But if it was true that the managers around the league that are looking for jobs and would be offered probably the best job in the sport right now, the idea, if they did turn that down, if it is true, if they did turn down the Astros jobs because of quote-unquote bloggers, then I don't want them here to begin with, because they're not the type of people I would want running this franchise.
This is a team that's made the ALCS 7 straight years. There's going to be a lot of high-pressure decisions that you have to make.
You can't handle bloggers?
If you can't handle a couple of snarky tweets by some math majors in June, I'm not sure if you're going to be cut out for this.
The vitriol this franchise has had to deal with from every opposing fan base for the last four seasons now, if you're going to be bothered by tweets, you are absolutely not fit to sit in that seat if you're, as the Houston Astros manager, given all the hate that is going to continue to be thrown this team's way until this run comes to an end, whenever it eventually does. This team is going to be the most hated in baseball. So as the manager of that team, you're going to have some thick skin and be able to deal with some rather uncomfortable situations at various points. So if you're not cut out for that because bloggers and tweeters are getting under your skin, yeah, no thanks. That's going to be a pass for me.
Yeah, hard pass for me as well. All right, we won't have time right this today to get into the Astros free agency, but, I mean, it's only November 11th. We'll have plenty of time to get into that in future weeks when actual deals start to get signed. But we're going to skip that for now to get into the Houston Rockets, won 5 in a row. Sean's got the Clutch City shirt over there. Yeah, very nice. So 5 in a row for your Houston Rockets after the 0-3 start. They've got a winning record, and they won their first ever in-season tournament game. Let's hang a banner for that. We'll get into the Rockets and what we've seen in their 5-game win streak next in the bullpen. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You do like me.
I just don't like you no more.
You do like me.
You don't.
Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're back on the bullpen. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Thanks. See, this is what happens when I have to lead the segment. BMAC hates the Rockets so much that I have to lead this segment now. Oh, Rocket man. Hater BMAC over here is making me lead the segment. If you want to get in on the Rockets hype train, you can join us on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. But, guys, last night was the most fun I have had watching a Rockets game since James Harden left Houston. And honestly, maybe since the bubble. Because outside of those last few games before the bubble was created and you had the Pocket Rockets, they traded away Clint Capella. You had just Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and
Robert Covington,
and PJ Tucker at center, and the team was going crazy. That this is the most fun I have had watching the Rockets since that iteration of the team. And so it's 5 wins in a row. They beat the Pelicans 104-101 last night. And the improvement that this team has made in such a short amount of time is absolutely remarkable. They said it on the post-game broadcast last night. This is a game last year the Rockets lose by double digits. And instead, with the veteran leadership of Fred VanVleet, Dylan the Villain Brooks, they were able to pull it out. And I want to get your early thoughts on what we've seen from the Rockets so far this season, because after 3 games, personally, I was maybe a little bit too reactionary given that it's an 82-game season, but I was really frustrated with what I had seen thus far. And in the 5 games since, the improvement that we've seen, not just as a cohesive unit from the team, but from a lot of individuals that we're going to get to talking about here in the segment, has been incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be disappointed by an 0-3 start considering the hype, I think, that in the excitement level that fans had coming into the season with the hire of Ime Udoka, with you're hopeful that the young core under a better coach, because Steven Silas, as we know, wasn't even running plays for Jabari Smith through most of the last season. Just all that coming together led to a lot of excitement. To start off 0-3 was obviously very disappointing, but I think lost in that 0-3 was the fact that in that third game against the Warriors, I mean, they had a lead in the fourth quarter, yeah. And then Steph Curry went full MVP Steph Curry and took over the game. But, I mean, you're a classic Steph Curry performance away from being not just 5-3, but 6-2. And these wins, Charlotte, obviously not a good basketball team, but these wins, by and large, are against some pretty good teams. I mean, the Kings were a playoff team last year. They won 2 games in a row against the Kings back-to-back. You beat the Lakers, no Anthony Davis, but LeBron's still there, so that's impressive. And the Pelicans, I mean, with Zion Williamson healthy, are a completely different team. We remember the first half of last year where the Pelicans were, I believe, leading the Western Conference.
They're the one seed, I think, in January.
Yeah, exactly. So I know they didn't finish how Pelicans fans would have wanted as a top seed. But
are there Pelicans fans?
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't think they really
Zion
are.
Zion doesn't have a problem finishing.
Mariah Mills.
Well, after Zion just had his kid, I don't think Mariah Mills is a fan anymore. I'm really sad that Twitter had banned her, because that is a moment that I needed to experience again. And
yeah, the moment that Zion's kid came into the world, I was hoping for the meltdown, but unfortunately.
Are we sure that she's not still in his life? Because I thought the last thing she tweeted before she got banned was that she missed her period.
She did tweet that. Yeah, that might have been. I mean, it's possible that was a kind of a revenge. You know, trying to. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying
that was a Hail Mary pass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where were we?
I don't know. But I was saying it's impressive not only because they won five in a row, but just to repeat it. I mean, the Hornets, while they're not a good team, Kings were a playoff team. You beat them twice. You beat the Lakers with LeBron, and you beat the Pelicans, who were, as Sean pointed out, the number one seed before Zion Williamson got hurt. So baked inside that five-game win streak is some really impressive wins, and you damn near beat the Warriors. It could be 6-2. So, yeah, it's down as we were after 0-3. There's that much reason for excitement after this five-game win streak.
Yeah, and, you know, you go through the wins before last night's, and you can go, oh, you know, missing De'Aaron Fox, missing Anthony Davis. The Rockets won 20 games last year, and they are smoking these playoff teams.
That's
from
the
last
biggest
year.
Point. Is
crushing them.
These, these games, it's not like they're eking by to win these games. You've got times where you're playing the bottom of the bench bites. Before he was sent over to the G League, Cam Whitmore was getting run at the
he
end of these
like
games.
An entire fourth quarter.
Because the Rockets were so far ahead.
Boban got into the Lakers game.
Yeah, it's a night and day difference with the fact that you are 100% right, Sean, where in years past, maybe you can have the caveat of, oh, well, you know, the Kings didn't have De'Aaron Fox. Well, the Rockets lost plenty of games where they were the team that was circled by the opponent as, yeah, this is the rest day where we're going to load manage because we don't respect the Rockets at all. And, you know, if you do that with this Rockets team this season, you've seen what's going to happen. They're going to run you out of the damn building.
Yes, and more so than the results, I mean, being fifth in the Western Conference after eight games is nice, but it is also not particularly sustainable. But so really what's got me going, got the blood pumping, got the red rowdy blood pumping in my veins is the process and how these Rockets are playing. They are a tough defensive team. They are
which just sounds so crazy after the last few years.
And just a team that's starting Jalen Green and Alperen Sengun in their 20s. I think they're both 21. And so normally when you're starting teams this or you're starting players this young, your star players are this young, you're just not a defensive team. But that's where bringing in Fred VanVleet and Dylan the Villain Brooks, that is the, and this word gets overused a lot, especially in basketball, especially with a certain team in basketball, but the culture that is being set by this team, the Rockets culture, Josh, that's being established right now. They don't have the uniforms.
I'm glad they, you know,
like the Heat do, but they're not just talking about it. They're actually being about it.
Are they painting into their free throw lane?
I didn't see that last night, but it was a special court. It was the in-season tournament.
I mean, no team
court.
Would paint like a slogan into their free throw.
Hardest workers.
Maybe a high school team.
I don't know who was in charge of that decision right there. Jimmy, Pat, I don't know. Just call me next time. We can talk some better
ideas again.
For anyone that's not familiar, the Miami Heat, for one of their alternate courts, have essentially painted a bunch of phrases in the paint.
Rise and grind.
Where it's like, we work harder than everybody else. And stuff of that, like in that vein, where it's just totally patting themselves on the back for the culture that they've created in Miami, which admittedly is a very good culture, and they do play their asses off and work really hard. But typically, that's something you just let the media tell you. You don't paint it onto your actual basketball court.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Yeah.
Like, can't we just get some pink, some blue, just something? All right, ugly courts.
Enough Miami Heat. Shut up.
You guys didn't even get Dame Lillard.
Yeah, what's your record in the in-season tournament? Who cares? Rockets are 1-0. That's all that matters. And not just the defensive identity, also the offense. The offense is night and day from the Silas Ball that they're playing with KPJ.
There was no identity with Silas Ball, yeah. It was just Jalen Green to go out and do whatever you want. Yeah. I think that's one thing that's been impressive about this Rockets team and what might make not – obviously, they're not going to run off a bunch of five-game win streaks throughout the year. They're probably not going to have a winning record. But what makes this success a little bit sustainable, I think, is what we saw – from previous Rockets years. Like, well, if Jalen Green has an off night, okay, well, I guess the Rockets lose. Whereas now you have so many more pieces around where it's and it's not just the one player. We kind of talked about, like, with the Texans, where if you're missing that one player, like Justin Jefferson, then everything falls apart. The Rockets are built with the roster that where if one guy has an off night, you see, you know, Dylan the Villain was great in the first couple games. He was having some really outstanding performances. You saw Fred VanVleet with the 8-0 personal run to take the Rockets, so they were trailing by 9.
Yeah.
I think going into the fourth quarter, they come back and take the lead. So there's just so many more options for this year's Rockets team that there's been in the past.
Yeah, and not to bring the mood down ever so slightly from that, but seeing the development from this team as a whole is not just in the cohesive way that they play, like Sean mentioned, but just from individual pieces, the leap that Şengün has taken as the hub of the offense and defensively as well. The way Jalen Green has been playing within himself and within the offense so much more than he has in past years. And I understand that they have veterans on the court now that probably play a pretty significant role in that. I don't think it can be understated the impact it has having a real point guard on the team in Fred VanVleet versus whatever the hell KPJ has been for the past two seasons.
Just getting him off the team, period.
How frustrating is it to essentially see it took 8 games under a real head coach in Ime Udoka for us to see this level of difference? It seems like it was just two entirely wasted seasons under Steven Silas the past 2 years.
We got David Coley. I mean, it feels like that Steven Silas, in a way, was just kind of hired as a transition coach of, you know what? We're going to suck. We don't care. We're going to get in the lottery, and Steven Silas will just kind of be the sacrificial lamb whenever we're ready to win. And that's kind of seems like how it played out, like the Texans with David Coley and Lovie Smith.
Yeah, but from an organizational standpoint for me, that just should be unacceptable that you waste essentially two seasons, because if you waste two seasons of development for young players in the NBA, that can cause irreparable harm to somebody's career.
Sure.
And their development. And thankfully, it looks like that is not the case with the Rockets' young core based upon what we've seen in these first 8 games. But it just frustrates me so much that this is the product we see. And I'm not saying that we could have seen this exact thing the past two seasons, but with a real head coach, we could have seen something a hell of a lot closer to this than what we've seen. I'm just glad it's here now, but it's That is the one thing that watching this team that frustrates me so much as I look back and I'm like, man, so many of these pieces were here already. It was just a matter of having the right player and coach in place around them to make them successful.
Yeah, this is something that we said during the offseason was going from 30 out of 30 teams when it comes to coaching to above average with
Ime Udoka,
top 10. Like, this is a guy that when he was in Boston, and this is something that also should add a little bit of a little bit more excitement to Rockets fans, is when he was in Boston, it took him a while to kind of get the Celtics to play the type of basketball that he wanted to play. And then once, I think the cutoff was like Martin Luther King Day that year, they became one of the best teams of all time. Just flatly one of the best teams of all time. They ended up going to the finals, something that core of Boston Celtics had done. So the fact that Ime Udoka, and now it is a little bit of the first kind of steps that the Rockets are taking are some of the easier steps to take of, hey, here's how NBA basketball gets played. It is a little bit of 101, NBA 101 that he's teaching right now to these guys, but to see the progress and that this team is basically where I would kind of want this team to be. I was expecting to see this kind of effort and stuff again in January, maybe around Christmas, but to see it in game 8 just in time for the start of the in-season tournament, it just means so much for what Ime Udoka can do with this core.
Nothing. It just means more. Like the SEC, the in-season tournament.
It means more.
Nothing
just means
better more than being 1-0 in the in-season tournament, right?
IST, just, baby. IST. IST.
All right.
IST.
While Sean continues chanting whatever disease it is over there on the left-hand side, we're going to hit the break because coming up next, we have arguably the greatest segment in all of sports radio. The award-winning Mount Rushmore Plus One is coming your way next on The Bullpen. ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dog Show.
God loves a terrier.
Kane is in the building.
The Bullpen,
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Josh not answering the question of who's going first here on the greatest segment in all of sports radio, Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Handing you the shovel, being like, dig your own grave.
Yeah, dig your own grave. Look, sometimes Josh comes with a Mount Rushmore Plus One that no one could possibly follow, right?
Yes.
So it would be very dangerous to let him go first.
I would argue that. To me, AC's brought some lists before.
That's
where
true. AC has had some really good.
Especially
tough ones
the one
to
where he said,
you know
the
what,
country
right.
loving.
AC's going
the cousin loving one. That was crazy.
Yeah. AC's.
I love the greatest hit. We should do just like a greatest hits one day of Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Yeah. I've got most of mine saved in a
document.
Note. Yeah, the note thing on the iPhone. But you know what, Josh? We're gonna roll the dice here, and you're gonna go first, and we'll let Andrew be the main event since he's been bringing such fire with it recently. Josh, your Mount Rushmore Plus One this week is
okay. So at least I mentioned it briefly last segment in regards to the in-season tournament courts, not just for Miami because that's another conversation, but the fact that these are just absolutely horrendous. So my Mount Rushmore Plus One is top five things that I think are uglier or that is a better look than what these courts are looking like currently, because they are such an eyesore.
Yeah,
number five.
They're real bad.
Uglier than the bananas and the coffee that Will Levis consumes.
Ooh. Solid.
Okay. I like it.
Number four. This one does not apply to me. Uglier than the person you thought that looked good after a night out drinking and waking up with regrets.
That does not apply to you?
I promise you, okay. It does not. Never I know happened. A couple people who it applies to.
So you're saying the Rockets court would look better with some beer goggles on, is what you're saying?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Now that sounds like a decent night right there. All right, number three. Uglier than the outfits that Russell Westbrook used to walk into the NBA arena with.
Yeah.
Number two. It's a worse look than the leaked Jalen Green videos from this summer.
Oh man, that's unnecessary.
Hey, the vibes are high.
Five game win streak.
The vibes are high. He has immunity.
Come on.
And last but not
You're
least,
bad person, Josh.
Uglier than the Davis Mills throwing to the sideline.
Yeah. Davis Mills certainly. Everything he put on the field is uglier than what we've seen with the NBA in season tournament courts.
Just a quick detour of like, there was a time where Steven Silas was the coach and Davis Mills
was
the
quarterback
for the teams in this.
God, league.
David Culley was the coach. It was a
god.
It was a rough time.
All right, we're talking about
analytics, and it was a bad time here in the city.
I'm not feeling it. We're not doing it.
Oh God! Shout out to David Culley. That was a miserable year. All right, I'll go ahead and go next. I'm theming mine today, as Sean already knows. Of course, today is Veterans Day. Shout out to Josh Beard, a veteran here that is, of course, one of the hosts of the Connor and Beard Show, noon to 3 on ESPN Radio 97.92.5.
And shout out to all the other veterans.
Shout out
Not
to
just
all the
Josh.
Well, mostly Josh.
Mostly Josh, because we know him.
Then a step down to, all the rest of the veterans. But, no, kidding. But my Mount Rushmore Plus One this week is taking a little bit of inspiration from that and not ranking my top five veterans of all time, but my top five veterans in sports. Like, and I'm going to keep this local to the city of Houston. These are players in their 30s who are not MVPs. They're not leading.
Okay.
They're not scoring the most points in the league, but they're solid contributing veterans that you just love to see on your team and you have fun watching them. That's my favorite veterans here in Houston sports.
Sports veterans.
Not,
yes. These people did not.
No,
serve.
These people, as far as I know,
do not steal valor.
Did
please.
Not, no, I don't. I don't think any of these guys have Purple Hearts. I'm pretty sure. But
Gary Hughes might.
But I think their service to the city of Houston is. I'm not going to say as commendable, but it was very commendable.
Couple notches down.
It's a couple notches down. All right, favorite veterans here. First, going back a little bit here. In Rockets basketball, I'm going to group in two guys together because they play on the same team. It is basically each of their last two seasons with the Rockets, just kind of the classic gym rat, just doing all the dirty work.
Right, guys.
And that was John Berry and Bob Sura on those early T-Mac in and Yao Ming teams of the with Jeff Van Gundy as head coach. John Barry and Bob Sura did the dirty work. They weren't stars. They weren't paid the big bucks, but they were. Yeah. They contributed a lot, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
Put some respect on Bobby Sura's name.
Yeah, Bobby Sura, man.
Bob Sura.
That man was cold before
was
his back gave out.
Yeah, he was.
He was. I mean, they did the whole three-point thing that I think later got outlawed and adopted by certain political groups, so they can't. We can't do that anymore in celebration of three-pointers hit, but it was fun while it lasted. Number two, also a former Houston Rocket, and I happened to be an intern with the Rockets while this player was there, and it was fun to interact with him. Dikembe Mutombo. Mm. I mean, he wasn't a starter. He was obviously sitting by, he was behind Yao Ming as the starting center. But I mean, who didn't love to see the Dikembe Mutombo finger wag when he would get a shot blocked? I mean, Dikembe Mutombo, he might only play 10 minutes a game, probably a lot of times less than that, but he was a lot of fun to watch out on the court. Number three, going over to the Houston Texans. Again, not the guy that would lead the team in sacks, but someone that was a lot of fun to watch and didn't have the finger wag, but did have a celebration after he got the sack. That is the ninja. Antonio Smith was a great veteran to watch. I think his season high in sacks for the Texans was like six or something. He wasn't a star, but he was a
pretty
nice
good.
Contributing
pretty
veteran. I like all the other guys on this list. Next one. This is always someone who I wish was a better player because he was so much fun to watch and to root for, but he only spent one season here because he's the classic journeyman quarterback, and that is Ryan Fitzpatrick. I love watching Ryan Fitzpatrick play. You could just see how hard he's trying and how hard he wants it out there, diving to pick up the extra yards, not afraid to take the hit. He's ultimately not very good, which is why he's played for half the teams. He's a great football grid person because he's been on half the teams in the league, but he was fun to watch. And my last one, no explanation needed, Charlie F. Morton.
Charlie Morton.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Shout out to all those veterans that sacrificed their time. They could be retired. They could have ridden off in the sunset and count their money. But no, they sacrificed to add a little bit of presence to each one of these locker rooms and clubhouses
that
they were.
That is the spirit we should be celebrating on Veterans Day.
So we could enjoy watching those teams play.
And having a little bit of chicken fried while
Thank
we were
away. Thank you.
Inside joke. That was for two people. Sorry, Houston. All right. Sean, what do you got on your Mount Rushmore plus one?
Mine's not themed. Mount Rushmore plus one of things announcers will beat into your heads when you're watching a game.
Yes. Lots of them.
Just I mean, we have it on mute right now. Fox's broadcast of Michigan versus Penn State. We're missing, I'm sure, some quality Gus Johnson Gus-gasms and Gus-isms right now. So this is going to be a little bit more broad and probably take you. Some are evergreen, some are back in the day. Like this first one, we're talking a lot of Rockets today. Did you know that Josh Smith and Dwight Howard were AAU teammates?
No,
Andrew,
I did not. Next, you're going to tell me Juan Soto is whatever he was, 21 years old.
That is also on my list. Juan Soto is 19. I don't know if he was actually 19 in 2019.
I think he might have been. Yeah, I think he might have been 19 because Joe Buck told us that every single time he came up to bat.
Thank you for jumping the snap count on that one, Andrew.
False start, Andrew Carlson.
But yes, I was going to end with Juan Soto.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, it's a good thing we didn't let Sean go last because Andrew would have said
this
all over.
Is. This is one for BMAC.
Oh.
A couple roommates that used to play together University of Texas football team.
Do you know they used to throw passes to each other from the land to the boat?
Colt McCoy, Jordan Shipley.
Roommates. Yeah.
That's why they have the chemistry that they do on the field is because they also share a mini fridge, I guess. I don't know.
That's how it works.
Did you know that Nick Saban's assistants are like 2-40 against him all time?
Not Sark.
Not Steve Sarkisian. Yes. And as Steve Sarkisian would say, what are everyone else's records against Nick Saban? No one has a good record against Nick Saban. And the last one, right? Is this the last one?
Well, it's not Juan Soto.
I lost
thanks,
track.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Since I ruined your list.
Yeah.
Three, four. This is the last one.
Okay.
Remember, folks, when you're watching the game, it's a close play. The yellow line that you see on the field is unofficial. It is not the official measurement. They will have to bring out the chains to go check.
It's very important to remember. No way we could have possibly remembered that without the announcer reminding us
every
single
time. Also, Juan Soto is 19.
Yeah, thanks. God, Andrew. All right, now I don't even want to let Andrew go now, but I'm sure. I'm sure it'll be a great list. So Andrew, go ahead, finish this off here.
So there's been a lot of talk about cheaters recently. Michigan, obviously, Jim Harbaugh had his scandal, or the Michigan scandal, where his punishment was handed down, and the Rockets would not have their head coach without some events that happened infidelity. While he was up in Boston. Mm-hmm. So
shout to infidelity.
My Mount Rushmore plus one is of cheaters. So. Number five on my list is going to be Michigan, just because you have to win something. And Michigan has won nothing of real consequence with their cheating thus far. So until you prove to me that you are actually successful with your cheating and gaining something out of it, you're going to be bottom of my list. Number four is that Rockets head coach, Ime Udoka. He has rocked my world. He has changed the way that I look at this Houston Rockets team.
Rocked his world, John.
He has rocked my world, B-Mac.
Okay. And all right, hey.
Look, are you a Celtic staffer?
No judgment.
Look, Ime Udoka flat out would not be the Rockets head coach if it was not for whatever happened in Boston. I'm not going to pass judgment on what happened in Boston. Yeah. All I know is Nia Long was not very happy about it. But you know what? Us in Houston, we are extremely excited about it. So, Ime Udoka, thank you for whatever you have done for your service.
Thank you for not keeping it saddled.
Wait, did you just thank Ime Udoka for a service on Veterans Day?
Yes,
For not keeping it in his pants in Boston?
Yes, I did. Okay. Thank you, Ime. We here in Houston appreciate you. Number three, this might upset some people, the Astros. The Astros were successful with their cheating. Did it impact the on-field product? I don't believe so. I believe they could have won that World Series without it. But you know what?
If you believe the report, they did. I mean, the report was it ended in September, but yeah.
They prospered. And you know
they
what?
They certainly prospered.
I appreciate it.
Well, Marwin Gonzalez certainly prospered from it.
Yeah. It upsets me that they're not number one on your list.
Oh, well, we'll get
that's
there.
That's what upsets me.
The Patriots have to be number two because
yeah, body award.
What they have accomplished with their cheating.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Deflated balls.
Stolen signs, you know, watching practices. It does not get better than what the Patriots have put together with their cheating resume, except for our number one option, and that is Tristan Thompson.
Oh.
If there is anyone who is the king of cheating, Tristan Thompson and the work that he has put together over his career is just phenomenal.
Longhorn legend, Tristan Thompson.
And recently quoted an interview as saying, "When I cheat, I feel disgusted the next day." Tristan, do you really? Because you've been doing it so long and so often, it's hard for us.
He didn't feel disgusted in the moment.
Yes, thank you, John.
He regretted.
He may feel disgusted after the fact, but not so disgusted that he's well.
Who doesn't do stuff that they regret the next day?
Well, Andrew's never had a cheat meal, but I mean, certainly Sean and I.
The
Josh
last time
had
you had
cheat
ice
meal.
Cream, I'm sure you regretted it the next day.
More ways than one, Sean.
What's crazy is that AC did another false start because Tristan Thompson was my person who I loved in sports this week for that quote.
False start, AC.
The chemistry is a little off. All right.
I mean, AC, you out here stealing signs?
I don't know if it's way off or way on.
I feel like AC is out here stealing signs. I don't know.
Honorable mention on my own Mount Rushmore plus one is me, apparently, for cheating and taking stuff off the list of other people on the show today.
There's some fouls been committed. AC chief among them. All right, gosh, we only got one segment left. I don't know when the next time we get to do this show is going to be. Like, I think we're off next week, and we're probably off the week the Saturday after Thanksgiving as well. So yeah, it'll be December before we're back here on Saturday with the bullpen. But we got one segment left in today's show, and that, of course, as we finished. Basically, almost every show. The show in Angleton was a little bit different, but we'll give out our worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week when we return to the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya Kane Powder.
All you walls, nightmares, I'm about to come true.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Josh Evans has failed the show once again, not bumping back with the requested bump back music we had talked about
Veterans
during the break.
Day, I Josh, wanted to play a little bit of Chicken Fried.
I have to ask, you've now let the veterans down. Are you going to be able to sleep tonight, knowing that you've let all the veterans down by not playing a little bit of Chicken Fry?
Cold beer on a Friday.
Cold beer.
I'm going to sleep just fine.
You're going to sleep just fine.
Hair jeans to fit just right.
And the radio up.
If you haven't seen the inside joke there is, if you haven't seen the lyrics to that song, it has an absolutely absurd transition in reference to supporting the troops back into singing about Jacob Wright's
saying. Saluting those who died, they gave their lives so we don't have to sacrifice the things we love. Like our chicken fried. It's absurd lyric.
Oh, yeah. So salute out to all the veterans having their little bit of chicken fried today. But let's finish the show right now. Our I think our last show until December, the only one we've had in November. It's the Aggies football has really run amok here on our schedule. But let's finish off the show with our worst people in sports and what we love from sports this week. Sean, you and I share our worst person. I had to pivot because I'm letting you take it instead. But your worst person in sports this week is?
Football terrorist Arthur Smith, also the Falcons head coach.
I second that. Mostly he's a horrible person.
Football terrorist. I'm glad he shaved that stupid mustache.
Doesn't help. He's still terrible.
It doesn't help. No. Arthur Smith, obviously much maligned, rightfully so, for his use or misuse of the Falcons' weapons, including Bijan Robinson, who...
Oh, like that game where Bijan was sick and they didn't decide to tell anybody?
Yes. Arthur Smith on, I think this was Monday, quote, Bijan excelling away from the ball.
What is this, the NBA?
What does that even mean?
He's an off-ball guard?
Clay
what does that
Thompson.
Mean?
They drafted a running back number 8 overall to be Clay Thompson.
He's got
Thompson.
A great spot-up shooting game.
He's got great gravity. You know, that's what they talk about with Curry and Clay. He's got gravity.
And to underline how away from the ball Bijan Robinson has been, Atlanta Falcons carries inside the 10-yard line this year with 10, Tyler Algier, with 5, Desmond Ridder, with 2, Cordarrelle Patterson. With 2, Bijan Robinson. With 1, Jonnu Smith.
He's got one more than a tight end, Jonnu Smith. And Jonnu scored on that play, no less.
Yeah. Oh, don't give Arthur Smith that ammunition.
I'm not giving him any credit for
it. No, it sounds like you gave him a little bit of credit.
No credit will ever be given to Arthur Smith.
I just need to know, if you're not with me, you're against me.
I'm with you. We had this conversation.
In the war on Falcons terrorism with Arthur Smith.
Hey, I have Bijan in 2 fantasy leagues. I am 100% with you on this. My worst person in sports this week is a group of people. It's Panther fans in general. Some of them are planning a march on Sunday. Of course, the Panthers played on Thursday, losing to the Bears on Thursday Night Football. The Panthers fans are apparently so disappointed that the team has started 1-8 that they are planning a march on Sunday in protest of the team's losing campaign. The march dubbed, quote, the March on Mints, I guess that's the name of their stadium or the area, I'm not sure, will occur on Sunday at Bank of America Stadium. There you go, Mints Bank. There we go. Near on Mint Street. Oh, actually.
Wait, so you went from bank to Mint before what? You thought it's on Mint Street.
Obviously, I should have kept reading. That was the first
The next
error.
Word?
The very next word. Yeah. Look, Sean, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a man in my 40s, and sometimes the comprehension.
You don't have your cheaters on?
Damn you, Sean. All right. Let me continue as I, again, am besieged upon all sides by Sean and Andrew over here. So the tweet sent out, and if you haven't seen the graphic, go see the graphic, because the graphic itself is worth just checking out for the laugh of how ridiculous this thing is. But the tweet says, calling Panther Nation, join us for the official March on Mint to make our voices heard. We love our team, but it's time to demand better performance on the field. Let's show our passion. Parentheses peacefully. I'm glad that they're telling
you.
I'm glad
Thank
they're not telling. Yeah, like their motto is keep pounding. You know, you don't want it to get out of hand.
There's been other marchers in Charlotte.
Well, all right. It is. We are getting near the show. So let's show our passion peacefully in parentheses and push for change. Panthers fans, look, your team sucks, but a march? Well, I'm sure that'll really change how Frank Wright calls the game because you've had a march on the Mint. Awful. All right, Andrew, your worst person in sports this week?
This one is really easy for me, and it's Jeremy Booth. That the comments that he made that we heard earlier and some of the subsequent comments that he made in the other clips that have done the rounds from Jason Bristol, I mean, it is so asinine to believe that anyone would not want to take this Astros job because, the social media climate here is too rough. Absolutely not. We have the softest major market media group in America, most likely. Like, we do not push our head coaches hardly at all.
I don't know.
All.
Sean and I are pretty hard. I mean, I talk about yourself.
Yeah.
Like, in any aspect, we are so, so easy on our coaches. And to act as if that a couple tweeters and bloggers might potentially dissuade a candidate from taking what I think is by far the best managerial opening in the sport right now is just absurd.
Josh, I would ask you what your worst person in sports this week, but I'm guessing it's Andrew for stealing part of your bit, but do you have anything else?
No, I do. It was not AC this week because he did get a nomination 1 week before. But so this person, his jersey is already in the rafters for worst person this week.
Is it Paul Pierce?
It is absolutely Paul Pierce.
What did Paul Pierce do?
So
it's been a quiet week.
Oh, no, it has not.
For the truth. What?
It has not. So earlier this week, an entertainer that goes by the name of Miss Ruby Rose posted a selfie on Twitter where she looked rather marvelous in, if I could add that real quick. And Mr. Paul Pierce, right underneath in the comment section, commented, "My crush, sir. You are a whole 20 years older than Ruby Rose, and you're older than your jersey number. Sit this one down, please."
And didn't she quote tweet it with her number, though?
Yeah, but I think that was a number for
a line?
Yeah. We'll just say
swipe.
1-900?
It may link to her OnlyFans or something along those lines. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I can relate to this as a man in my 40s. It's not okay for what Paul Pierce just decided to do. All right, let's quickly transition away from the anger sharks and over to the Sea of Tranquility. Backpedal. Look, I did it. I had all those
backpedal.
Weeks.
Yeah, backstroke. Backstroke.
I was so confident I was going to get it right, and I said I got it wrong with confidence. But confidence
worst
is half
person
the battle.
This is things.
This is a disaster.
Things I love. The mistake that Brian McDonald just made. Love that. Made my week.
Things that made my week. Malik Murphy will not be starting a quarterback for the University of Texas Longhorns today. Welcome back, Quinn Ewers. Andrew, your favorite thing from sports this week?
The return of the golden age in Houston sports. We got the Dynamo in Game 3 tonight, baby. They're going to take down Real Salt Lake. And the Rockets are exciting. The Texans are exciting. The Astros hopefully will continue to be awesome. So, great time to be a Houston sports fan.
The best two words in sports. Game 3. Josh, quickly, you're the thing you love from sports this week.
Just the honesty of Tristan Thompson. And I love how he speaks in the present tense and not the past tense. That's really it.
Tristan Thompson, Longhorn legend. All right, that'll do it for the bullpen this week. We'll be back in, I believe, the first Saturday in December. We're off the next 2 weeks because of Aggie football. For Sean Mays, for Andrew Carlson, I'm Brian McDonald. For Josh Behind the Glass, we will see you that first Saturday in December. Go Dynamo.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. All systems go.
Houston is all systems go.